Having been to Maryland Sheepinwool
Yeah.
Festival, which is intense. Like, not only is there a ton of stuff, but it's
Yeah.
like there's a ton of people, and there's always those few booths where like people line up, and like they're the it thing or whatever. Like, it wasn't like that. It was steady. Like, it was busy,
Saturday morning was really busy.
Saturday it was busy, but it wasn't insane. It didn't feel
Overwhelming.
like, I mean, I think probably the people working in the booths were maybe a little overwhelmed, but not like it wasn't chaos.
Today on Woolen Spinning Radio, Dion sat Rebecca and Rachel down to quiz them about Knit City Vancouver 2025. Rebecca and Rachel had spent the weekend exploring the marketplace, meeting with everyone in our community, and of course, shopping. We share some of the trends we noticed that emerged this year, including machine knitting, crochet, and more. Lots of fleece talk this month. We fell into a bit of a rabbit hole at the end of the show about a property of wool that Melissa of Melly Knits and Rachel have been exploring with increasing interest, along with Dion and her fiber blending experiments called porosity. The definition of porosity is the quality or degree of having minute spaces or holes through which liquid or air may pass. Melissa has described this phenomenon to me in the past as fleece, that when you feel it, it has holes or spaces that she can fill with something like cotton, possum, and many other fibers. Silk, alpaca, and llama seem to go into most fleece without problem. And Dion was the first in our community to put a word to the attributes of these fleeces that are able to blend with these sometimes difficult to card fibers. I hope you enjoy our conversation.
What is Knit City? How did it start? What?
That's a great question. That's a great place to start. So Knit City, Amanda and Fiona are the women behind Knit City, and they started a company called Knit Social, so knitsocial.ca, and they started like a long time ago. Like, this has been going on for like a long time. I remember meeting Felicia. Did I meet Felicia at Fibers West or Knit City of Sweet Georgia like 20 years ago at one of these events? So like, these are festivals that have been going on for a really long time here in this part of southwestern British Columbia and here in Canada. And I think the first Knit City was in like the Ukrainian Cultural Center, and then they like moved to another location, and it was only Knit City Vancouver, and it's just steadily grown. And now they have like Knit City Vancouver, Knit City Calgary, Knit City Toronto, and Knit City Montreal. And of course, Rebecca and I were able to go to Knit City Calgary last August, a year ago. So now what they do is they alternate each year, is like alternates back and forth. So 1 year will be in Calgary, 1 year will be in Vancouver, and then same for Toronto and Montreal. 1 year will be in Montreal, 1 year will be in Vancouver. But it's kind of become like an institution, kind of unto itself. And for the last, like, I want to say decade, but I might be wrong. They've been doing it at the PNE, which is our like national exhibition kind of grounds, like Agri Fair kind of. There's Playland, which is a big like roller coasters and theme park kind of place. And
And like a state fairground, like we
yeah, that
have,
would be like the equivalent, right? So this was the last one that is going to be there. So it was kind of a bit of a poignant one. Like, Amanda and Fiona were like really feeling all the feels all weekend. But it's always very well attended. Friday night, they always do something. There used to be a keynote on Friday night, but this year they did a knit night. And then on Saturday night, they usually do the knit night, but this year they did a movie. And there's workshops on the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. People come in from all over for it. It's quite a large thing. Sweet Georgia always has a massive booth, and they do like a knitter's lounge in the center. So their booth is on right in the middle of the marketplace, and then right across from their booth is like this big knitter's lounge with like comfy chairs, and they set up looms, and they had an Inco loom this year, and the fiber blending station, and all the tools, and they had e-spinners, and Felicia had a sock knitting machine set up. Did they have the...
They had the brother.
They had too. Yeah. And like, honestly, it's just like a lot of community, a lot of visiting, a lot of hanging out.
The first one was 2012.
Oh, it was Google that recent.
Yeah.
So it was Fibers West then that goes back into the early aughts.
Yeah.
Because Fibers West, I met Felicia in 2006. So it must have been at Fibers West. Mm-hmm. So Knit City was like, I remember the first year that the Knit City, I didn't get there. James was absolutely brand new. He was a brand new, and I didn't get there. But I remember hearing like, oh yeah, this is going to be a thing going forward, you know? So, cool. Yeah.
So it seems like, is it more about the community and the camaraderie as opposed to just purchasing stuff?
I think it's both. Okay. the marketplace is pretty big.
Okay.
That's and like a lot of people do the workshops and they do all of that. And like the workshops are always sold out. Mm-hmm. They usually have a pretty eclectic collection of workshops. Like it's not just knitting or not just like it's usually pretty.
Yeah, there was like bark band weaving.
Yeah.
And so yeah, there's some pretty wild ones.
One year they had cedar weaving. It was put on by one of our local Squamish First Nations. A couple of the ladies came down and did that. Like it's pretty eclectic. Like but the marketplace has always been very capital K knitter. Like it's taken a long time for it to be multi-craftual. There was a couple of years there, I remember in the teens, mm-hmm. when Nora and James were still quite young, and like you would go through the marketplace and like it was only yarn. You didn't see anything else. But mm-hmm. I actually think Sweet Georgia has a lot to, they deserve a lot of credit for really bringing the multi-craftual, because Sweet Georgia is multi-craftual, mm-hmm. and they were really the ones that started bringing spinning fiber and started, like there was a couple mm-hmm. of years there that I would like sit and spin in the booth and demo, and we get people interested in doing spinning classes, and that was, and then slowly you started to see a little bit of weaving, and it's still very capital K knitter heavy, but there's more fiber.
Yeah, I didn't count, but my feeling was like, aside from the booths that didn't have any wool, that were like chocolate or bags or something like that, mm-hmm. of all of the booths that had any like fiber stuff at all, I think at least half of them had some fiber in the
Absolutely.
Booth.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
there weren't that many, it felt like, where there was no spinning fiber.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of them had like, you know, and here's a little bit of fiber on the side, which was fine. They almost all had some, which was mm-hmm. really interesting.
That's and cool. A couple of them, that was all they did.
Yeah.
Like chaotic fibers.
Yeah. So, or one of the emerging makers, one of the brand new ones,
had, oh. had that was all she had.
Fiber.
Yeah. Yeah. She's from the island.
Okay.
I feel like she's from the island.
From Vancouver Island.
So they had a new thing this year. Mm-hmm. Where at the back, so once you kind of got through like the main marketplace, at the back, there was sort of two rows and they're facing each other, but it was really the row at the very back. And they did this at Calgary too, where they had these kind of micro booths mm-hmm. and they're for emerging makers. So they were for makers that maybe don't have the income or have the, I don't know what the right word would be, but like they're not established yet to
first,
have
maybe
a
their
booth.
First show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and one of the ones from Calgary had a regular booth this year.
Yeah, which was so good to see.
Really cool.
Yeah. Okay. So they had an emerging one in August last in Calgary. They were really like micro booths. Cause I know that the booth fees for Knit City are very high.
Yeah.
Because the cost of hosting it at the Peony is so high. Yeah. So I know that's always been something that everybody has always struggled with for Knit City, including the organizers. So having the emerging booths is kind of a neat idea because you can have people come in who maybe wouldn't otherwise be there.
Yes, that's really nice for those smaller newcomers who, like you said, they've never done it before.
Yeah.
Get the exposure that way. And
learning the ropes. One of them was a chocolate maker, which was kind of interesting because there's never been food before.
Ah.
Yeah. And then there was the fiber one that Rebecca mentioned. And then there was one that was, she obviously, it was kind of very crochet heavy. That was kind of neat. That was same as Calgary. This was the first time that we really saw a lot of crochet.
Okay.
Yeah. And
you
that
guys
was
had, which day did you wear your sweaters?
The second day. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Well, and there was the one girl who was just selling art yarn, her hand spun art yarn.
Just her hand spun. Nice. Yeah.
There was actually a fair amount of hand spun. There were a few people who had big racks of hand spun they were
That's
selling.
Nice. That was
fun.
And that rather than skeining it, they had it on hooks.
Yeah, just big, like
hanging.
Loose tank.
Like loose tank, so you could really see it.
That's
great. And like good quality too. Like you always are a bit skeptical, right? Like you're sort of always like, but there was all of them. Like when I looked at them and fingered them and stuff and touched them, like it was good quality. Like it was well twisted. It wasn't super dense and heavy. It was well made. Like it was good yarn.
If you're going to spin for a show, of course you have to spin for speed.
Yes.
And sometimes you run across those booths where it's like, ooh, you know,
bit underplied.
A lot of times underplied. But this was
good quality yarn.
Was there anything this year that really stood out to you?
Oh, great question. Good question.
Well, all wound up brought, like last, well, you should talk about her, but it was last year she brought a few fleeces and you bought them all.
Yeah.
And this year she brought like 50. She brought like a whack ton of fleeces.
And she sold them.
Yeah, she sold almost all. Well,
wonderful.
She was $5 a pop. Shut up. Yeah. It's I guess she went from last year, she brought a few. Because you want to, you know,
yeah. So
she is,
yeah. So Megan is all wound up, and she's located in Pastor, Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got a farm, and she has like a lot of sheep. Like I think I might be wrong, and if she's listening to this, she can correct me. But I think she's got like 300 head or something, and they're all Corriedale, Rambouillet, and BFLs and crosses of those three breeds. I think she might even have a Tunis.
She's got some Tunis crosses.
Yeah, Tunis crosses, and then the rest are like Corrie crosses with BFL and Rambouillet. So Knit City Calgary was her first show as far doing like a Knit City thing, because that was the first time that there had been a Knit City in Alberta. And then Knit City Vancouver this time around this past weekend was her first time doing Knit City Vancouver.
Oh.
So for her to bring all of those fleeces, and to do so well that people were really buying and didn't feel intimidated by, because like her fleeces are big. They're coming off Corey's, right?
Mine was 7.5 pounds.
It's a lot.
I mean, you know, totally raw, obviously, but
yeah, it needs to be washed and, you know, maybe needs a bit of skirting. You know, and her sheep are out on the land. So like, they're not super clean, but they wash up beautifully.
Well, and you said she's a vet, so
vet.
So they're very healthy,
yeah.
And you know that they're happy sheep.
And because she raises them for the fiber, she's got C-cams full of fiber. The fleece is just beautiful because they're being raised for fleece and for
That's
fiber,
good.
right?
Yeah.
That was the first time she'd been at Knit City Vancouver. And I got the impression that things had gone really well, which is what you want, right? Because like in the future, you want people to come back and you want people to have access to this stuff. So, and she, I mean, she, her fleeces are so, I mean, $35 for a,
If you're, I mean, it saves her the work of having them scoured and whatever, but it's worth the work.
It's worth it.
You know what I realized? I realized this is the first time I bought a fleece for myself and not split it. Like, it's just this is mine. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to use all this. I've always felt so intimidated that I was like, okay, let's find someone to split it with. But it's partly because it was so affordable.
Yeah. You can't really.
Also, a Corrie fleece, you can do so much with it.
I know.
Dye-wise.
It's really beautiful, white and stuff.
And you really can't go wrong with it because it's such, her fleeces are so, they're so good quality. And they're affordable. And so you can learn on them, but you get a great product. I mean, you just can't go wrong. So, yeah. So the Megan was there. That was definitely one of the highlights, I think, was seeing her. And one of the other highlights, or one of the I don't know if it's a highlight, but it was something that we noticed. There was a lot more machine knitting. There was a whole booth dedicated to machine knitting.
Yeah, like the because Sweet Georgia had all their machine knitting stuff, and then there was like a CSM circular sock machine
Right.
club kind of thing, and they
Oh,
were
neat.
just there to promote the craft. They weren't
Yeah.
selling
They're not
anything.
promoting anything.
Yeah, so
Yeah.
they had a CSM set up there, and she could tell you all about it, and you could crank it a little bit, and she's like, I'm here to help you. If you find one on eBay and you're not sure it's good or whatever, like talk to me and I'll help you. Get started and stuff. And they had a Brother machine there too, and a bunch of like samples, a bunch of like huge swatches. You know how if you're when you're testing the tension on a machine, you'll just like make a huge swatch. So it's like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And they had a bunch of those around,
And labeled,
and
which was
labeled.
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was like, man, this is like you can tell they've done the work, and that's who you need out there. And it's nice to have more voices as well, because
Yes.
Felicia's obviously doing a ton with machine knitting, but the more voices we can get out there on this craft, the better.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
I've come across someone who's been using their hand spun on their knitting machines. So that was one of the things.
My mom's done that.
Has she? Yeah, I think that's pretty cool.
It's goals.
Amazing. Yeah, goals. Yeah, I
Yeah.
gave my mom some Kiviet and she spun it up as a blend and then machine knit a sweater with it. Like it was nothing. And I was like, Mom, you don't realize what you've achieved here. This is a big deal. Like, I can't
Yes.
believe you A, spun, hand spun at all that your machine just knit, and B, that you use Kiviet in it. That's crazy.
Yes.
That's so cool.
It's so cool. So,
Yeah.
was there like how many days did you go, and were there like themes to each day or anything like
The
that?
marketplace is open Saturday and Sunday. Friday night was the knit night. And yeah, it wasn't like, it was just a big marketplace, right? Like, I think to answer your earlier question about, is it about the shopping or the social? It seems like a sort of a typical fiber fest and that it's all kind of centered around the marketplace. But they're very conscious that a lot of people are there for the social stuff and they want to promote that and enable that. Hence the Sweet Georgia Lounge. And like places to sit and food trucks outside and places to sit and
Big cafe.
yeah.
Were there any major lines for food, or was it kind of convenient to get food?
There's always lines for the food trucks, and it's really actually kind of too bad because I think what happens is, and it's like this every year, the marketplace opens at 9. And I think by like 11, people are kind of 11, 11:30, people are kind of looking for a bit of a break. And we lucked out with weather. Like the weather has been incredible. And it didn't actually start really pouring and really raining until yesterday, which was like, well, the weekend is well and truly over. But the food trucks, like they only brought in 4 this year, and by 11, they're super lined up and lots of delays to get food. And I think I don't like it's one of those tricky things, right? Because it's like this at like soccer games that we go to where you don't want to bring in so many food trucks that it's not worth it for each individual truck, but you need enough that it dissipates the lines, right? And
Yeah.
I don't know how you find that balance, or I think I would have liked to have seen maybe one more. And they did mac and cheese and grilled cheese. So there was one mac and cheese truck and then one grilled cheese. And I think I wish there was a little bit more variety.
Yeah.
Because if you're not into something and cheese,
We had hot dogs at the one.
they did, they
Yeah.
did. But you know,
Yeah.
just your demographic, like, it's sort of a demographic, it's not kids, right?
There was also
Yeah.
the cafe inside that had a
Yes.
lot of pre-made salads and sandwiches and stuff. So
Okay.
there was some fast, healthy-ish stuff.
Yeah, that's
Okay.
true.
And you
And
could
they
tell
always
just how
do a
great
really
their
good
coffee
job.
was.
Yeah, their coffee's always really good, and you can get You can get drinks, and you know it's pretty easy. And it, like, if you want to stay inside and you don't want to leave, you want to do something fast, there's options.
Okay.
Yeah, the muffin was actually quite good.
Yeah.
It was
We
this like
love it.
weird
It was coffee flavored.
coffee muffin. It was, what was it? Pumpkin
Yeah, I
coffee?
think
It was
so.
actually like pretty good. We had it on Sunday where I was like, this is kind of weird, but okay, we'll do it. It was actually quite good. And people were walking around with drinks. Like people were going and getting coffee and walking around and visiting, and like people were definitely spending money on food and drink and stuff, because you know you want to make it worth their time too, right?
Yeah.
So which is good. I think one of the concerns I had heard from several people prior to the show was that they were a bit concerned that people would come and they would visit all weekend, but that they wouldn't buy. And they were,
Oh.
you know, because this is for some of the vendors, this is like the show of the year, besides, and they do even better than they do at Fibers West, because
Okay.
people really come to Fibers West to spend. And there was some speculation about how much people would buy and whether or not we would get some of the people traveling from out of town like we always have. But it sounded like that all happened, and people were really purchasing and they were really buying stuff and they were excited to be there, and people came in from out of town. You were chatting with that one lady for a long time. She'd come from New York and came for the Sweet Georgia instructor makeup meetup.
Oh, she's a
And
big Sweet Georgia person.
she had, how long was she in town for, did she say?
I
Just
think
for the
less than a
weekend?
week. Yeah, she was flying out on Monday, I think. Yeah, it was, having been to Maryland Sheep & Wool Festival, which is intense. Like, not only is there a ton of stuff, but it's like there's a ton of people, and there's always those few booths where like people line up and like, they're the it thing or whatever. Like, it wasn't like that. It was steady, like it was busy,
Saturday
and
morning was really
yeah,
busy.
Saturday it was busy, but it wasn't insane. It didn't feel
Overwhelming.
like, I mean, I think probably the people working in the booths were maybe a little overwhelmed, but not like it wasn't chaos.
No.
And then even on Sunday, it was pretty steady, even though you always expect it to be quiet. Like, it was steady right up until close, right up until three. It was just,
I felt like it was busier on Sunday than it was when we were in Calgary, because Calgary
yeah, it
really
was pretty
died.
dead on, yeah, we were,
The marketplace on Sunday closes at 3 p.m. And they've done that for the last few years, just because it means that the vendors aren't, like, they can actually pack up and get out of there at a decent time. And you know, most people are back to work the next day, or they have to travel or whatever. And in Calgary on the Sunday, it was like we were sitting on the floor in a massive circle in Melissa's booth, Melly Knits, all chit-chatting and hanging out. And like we were not in anyone's way. There was nobody coming into the booth still looking to purchase or buy anything. Whereas like we wouldn't have been able to do that this time. There was still people shopping right up till the end and still buying stuff right up till the end. Yeah, it was really neat.
So, you said they have a lot of classes. Do they have classes all 3 days or just the first two, or
They're all day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But I noticed one of the changes. I don't know if it's, I just hadn't noticed it, or I noticed it this year. There were a lot of classes that were like 2 or 3 hours. They were like half day classes, and the instructors were maybe teaching them twice or three times, or they were maybe only teaching for half a day or 2 half days. Like I noticed that they seem to be kind of trying some different formats rather than kind of locking up the students from 9 till 5 for like a 1 day or a 2 day workshop. Like it sort of seems like there's sort of some different formats that they're trying. I noticed that at Fibers West too. There were a lot of like half day classes or like a 2 hour, 3 hour lecture more style. And I don't know if it's maybe just people are looking for something different. They want to go to the marketplace. They don't want to be tied up all day.
Yeah, that's probably it. And there wasn't a lot of spinning classes. It was really just Kim's class, I think.
Okay.
There's a lot of, there were several knitting classes. There was a couple, like, you know, there was an embroider on your knitting class that was, I think, pretty popular. I knew a couple people going to that. Sarah Shira, who does the gnomes, she taught her class 2 or 3 times. Or she had actually a couple different classes that she was teaching.
Neat.
Yeah, they were all over the place. It wasn't there wasn't anything that I felt like I wanted to take, partly because I had Naomi with me and I would have had to pick something we could both do and pay, you know, for both of us to take it. There was
Yeah.
nothing that would have been worth that level of investment. But
Although it would have worked out if you'd done something on Sunday, because she ended up not coming with us on Sunday.
yeah, that's true. But we couldn't know that that would
Yeah.
have worked out.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, she
Okay.
hung out with Mike and the kids on Sunday instead of coming back.
Yeah. Probably more into her games.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what did you two do most of the days? Like, did you go every day?
Yes, Rachel
Okay.
talked.
Okay.
Yeah, I cannot believe how much I talked. I was sick the whole weekend. I still am sick. I've got a really bad head cold. And I think I maybe have finally turned a bit of a corner. So like Saturday, I was feeling pretty awful. And I was supposed to be working in Melissa's booth, and doing like sort of all the spinning stuff. Like, you know, they get a lot of questions in the booth from beginning spinners. Like, I bought this thing, like, how do I get started? And just getting started on spindles. And they'll go to Maudsley Fiber Arts to Helen and be like, they'll buy their spindle. And then they come to Melissa and they buy the fiber. And they're like, hey, now
Okay,
what do
now
I
what do we
do?
do? Yeah.
And like Melissa and
Continue.
Erin and Emily, like they're just too busy. They can't stand there and like give like lessons, right? So I was gonna be that person, right? Go over and talk to Rachel. And I just didn't have it in me. But so and actually it ended up working out, I think, for the better because of you guys being here. And like I don't think I would have wanted to be tied to one booth for the whole day just because we had already made these plans. But yeah, just the sheer number of people. I don't think there has ever been that many of like my people in like people that I know in one place all at once. Like I've never been at like a Fibers West or a Knit City where it's been
Wow.
quite to that extreme.
Yeah.
Like I felt like every time I turned around, there was somebody else.
Yeah, and I figured out eventually that if you stopped and started talking to somebody, you were gonna be there for fully half an hour. So
You just
I
started
just sort of
leaving.
like knew where you were, and I would kind of like do things nearby and circle back.
That's
Yeah,
cute.
and the first on Saturday, I had to keep chasing Naomi around because
Yes.
she is like a super shopper. She just loves
I'm
shopping,
hearing.
and she wouldn't like quite. I tried to tell her to stay where I could see her, but she wasn't really doing it.
Yeah. And there were a lot of
So
people.
yeah, so she it wasn't so it was a contained space. If we were at Maryland Sheep and Wool, I couldn't have let her do that. But but
And
here
it's
it was
safe.
like, yeah, it was
It is
like, oh,
safe.
and we had the knitter's lounge. She knew where that was, so I could be like, okay, if you get lost, meet up back here. And I knew Greta was there, and so it was fine. But
And Felicia's daughter, Nina, was
yeah,
pregnant.
Nina was
So it was
there.
like there was other kids around, you know?
Cool. Nice.
Like Greta and I stood and chatted for almost an hour because we hadn't seen each other. And, you know, yeah, it's just that was
Yeah.
unusual that it
Okay.
was that intense. For the weekend, I'm not complaining at all. It was so good to see everybody. And then on Sunday, there's my like local fiber group that's like my local I kind of think of them as my guild girls, because we're all in guild together, and we all like over the last year have really gotten to be good friends. So we ended up with them
For lunch, yeah, for lunch
most
and
of
stuff.
Sunday, like, you know, hanging out in the lounge, and then we kind of all navigated outside to lunch. And that was just it, kind of Chelsea's part of that group who was with us on Saturday.
Okay.
Lisa, who's working in H and Art, she's part of that group. So it's like they were all there. So it kind
Oh.
of organically happened without really like meaning to. And actually three of them were missing. So it wasn't even like it was all of us. But it's just like this little group of us that have kind of found each other locally. And I think it's the same as what we're all looking for. It's just like looking for community and connection and people who are want to talk about the same things that we want to talk about, you know? And Melody had come up from Seattle, and she's from here. But I hadn't seen her for a long time. So it's good to see her, and she's really good friends with one of my really good friends. So then we all had lunch together.
Yeah, a lot of just chit-chatting and yeah, but we, at least on Sunday we made it all the way around all the
We
booths
did.
pretty much.
Saturday, we
Saturday we did
nipped all
it.
of it. I think I got into like three booths on Saturday. I'm like feeling terrible, and I didn't even get to see anything. Did I buy? The only things that I bought on Saturday, which was kind of funny. I thought that on Sunday I would actually do my purchasing, but I ended up not on Sunday either. So we should talk about what we got.
I was going to ask that question. What did you get? Let's
I'll go
start
first because
with
I only got a couple of things. So I always, it's a tradition for me. I always buy Megan of Bramble Ridge. I always buy her colorway for the show. So she always does like a show color for Fibers West, and then she does a show color for Knit City. And she did one for Knit City Calgary last year. And I bought a second one in Calgary for Glenda. Why did I do that? I can't remember why I did that. It was a thank you. I was saying thank you. Can't remember. Anyways, last because the Calgary one was Melissa named it
Oh,
for
giddy up.
it was Giddy
Giddy
Up.
up. I was gonna say, I remember that. Giddy
Stampede.
up.
So this year she did three bases. She did Cormo, BFL Massam, but I've spun so much BFL Massam this year from her that I was like, I'm good. And then she did a third one that was she calls it Hanui Fog, and it's because the Hanui, and you guys who are listening can't see this, but Dion can. It's not true white. It's like a slightly gray color. The camera's not focusing, but you see it. You can really see it in there. It's like not true white. And she called it Hastings Sunrise because the peony is on Hastings Street, which is a very famous street in Vancouver. It's one of the oldest streets in Vancouver. And it takes you all the way from East Vancouver all the way into downtown Vancouver. It runs east west. Anyways, the Hanui is 23.6 micron. I got just one braid of it. So I
It's
got
really
that, which
cool.
I just finished stripping. And then I have one of Helen of Maudsley Fiber Arts. I have one of her, the big hollow whirl spindle, you know, the big one.
Yes, that's
That,
gorgeous.
yeah, and I've had
Yes.
what was this
Last
with
year.
you?
Yeah, she set it aside for you.
At Calgary. So this one's quite big. I was going to ask her if I like if we could
Paper.
shave it down a little bit. I just find it's a little bit heavy for what I like, but I love the spindle. So I got a small one. Yeah.
Nice.
And is that
Yeah.
when she started making a narrower
Yeah,
tip?
she's narrowed the tip.
Yes,
I'm
that's my
showing
bread.
Dion on the camera, but yeah, the tip is quite a bit, and the where you flick on the supported spindle is quite a bit thinner, so it just feels nice. She's doing them so that this is the whorl itself is lighter, and then the shaft is a dark wood. And I really wanted one of those, but this one spun the way I like. So I was like, oh, okay, fine. And then she's made the tips a little bit pointier. And she said that you can actually take that and just stick it in a pencil sharpener. I
Was wondering.
was like, I don't
I
think I could
can't.
do that, but
I
okay.
was like,
Yeah, I
I
was
don't
kidding
think
when I said that. And
so.
she was like, oh,
Oh yeah,
yeah,
sure,
sure,
why
for
not?
sure.
Is it a good
Like,
pencil sharpener?
oh.
Yeah.
She's like, don't put it in
No.
an electric one, but I was like, oh my gosh. And then my friend Shauna is Calliope Fibers, and she does bats, but she also has started sewing again. And she's made these massive bags that are meant for like carrying all your support spindles and stuff around in your spoon. And they're quite long and they're narrow and they kind of open up like I don't even know how you describe this because it doesn't really have sides.
Flat.
It's
It's
just
just,
flat.
yeah, it's maybe 18 inches long, maybe a little
Maybe a little
longer,
longer with a zipper
21
down the middle.
middle,
And it's out of canvas, so it's
Oh.
really stiff. And it's got a hook at the top. And the idea is that you can put it around your wrist. But the idea is that you can fit your spoon and your supported spindle all in it
That's
comfortably.
nice.
It's like most stuff you can't. So I had, I really wanted to get something from her to obviously support my dear friend. So I got that. And I really like the fabric. It's a coral with these like really fun flowers on it. and
oatmeal
background.
Is it a wax canvas or just canvas?
It's just canvas. I thought for sure from a distance it was a wax canvas, but it's not. And I
Okay.
asked her if she used any interfacing or anything inside, but she said with these ones she doesn't need to, but her
Okay.
other ones she does. She makes other bags and stuff too.
Okay.
And then Megan of All Wound Up that we were talking about earlier, she actually gifted me, which was so kind of her, just a little bit of fiber off of her Angora bunny to play with, just to
Oh, that's a beautiful silver gray.
isn't that gorgeous? And her bunny is massive. So she's had to move her bunny outside because she didn't realize it would get as big as it did.
Yeah, it's like bigger than my dog.
Yeah, and it's
Are you
producing.
serious?
It looks like a 20 pound
It's
animal.
huge. And it's producing, she said the amount of fiber it's producing is like unbelievable. What did what
Wow.
what was the name?
Of the ant, I don't
Oh,
remember.
she
They
told us.
must be one of those giant bunnies. Like that's
Yeah.
a
Yeah, it's like
Angora.
one of the big German Angoras.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's it.
Yeah,
That's all I had time
you were very
for.
well behaved. I was
Well, I
not.
also did not get a chance to really look at anything. That
Yeah.
was the only thing. I have to admit, on Sunday when we were leaving, I felt like I didn't really get a chance to really look. Like I didn't get to go into any of the booths and really look.
It went so
But it
fast.
was, oh my goodness, it was a blur. It was a
Yeah.
blur.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But Rebecca got some fun stuff.
Yeah, I
You got
learned
some
some of
really
that.
fun. Oh, and then
Okay.
I have to say the one other thing.
Yes.
Okay,
You talk
so
about that. I need to do something.
Dion can see this. When I got these, I almost started crying. So one of the members, so Greta gifted these to me, but they're not from Greta. She was just the Sherpa. One of the ladies in the Sweet Georgia forums, her name is Kathy. If she's listening to this, she knows who she is. And she took the five spinners colorways that we designed back in the winter. So mine was Wesley's Field. And you know how we'd done for Sweet Georgia all those colorways, right? And so Diana Twist did one, and Kim McKenna did one, Debbie Held did one. Mine was Wesley's Field, and mine had all of those colors. She wove three towels for each of us using our colors as inspiration in 8-2 cotton. So this is an eight shaft point twill that she turned 12 that she did not point, well, it is a point 12, but it's a turn 12 that she did for me and
Wow.
gifted us each three. So Diana's were in a waffle weave. They were just beautiful. I didn't see any of the other ones, but
Oh.
yeah, I felt really, after the year that I've had, I just felt so overcome when Greta gave them to me. So these ones are mine. I'll show you, Dion. I know people who are listening to this can't see, but I'll show them on the podcast on
Yeah, I was
episode.
going to say, maybe you can put the braid up on the podcast.
Yeah, that's a great idea. On episode 323, which is like a week today, I'll show them. But this is what they look like for Dion. And
Oh,
they've got all
that's
the colors from the braid.
gorgeous.
Yeah. So they're not washed yet, but they're definitely gonna be saved for special. So it was just
So
so.
is there black in there too? It looks like.
It's a really super dark brown, like a dark
Okay,
brown.
wow.
Yeah, which wasn't in the colorway, but works beautifully with these
It
colors.
does. It does.
Yeah. So,
Oh, that is so beautiful.
thank you. Yeah. She did a beautiful job. Beautiful
She did.
weaving, super even. The salvages are beautiful. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Rebecca's turn. All right.
Okay.
My turn.
Bring on the goodies.
So, I didn't, it's all packed away in the trailer. So, I'm just gonna have to use my words to tell you about it.
Okay.
I was on the hunt for some long wool because, as I've talked about on the show, I have now like two, like I have like 4 ounces of singles to become boucle, and none of them are going to work to make traditional boucle. Like I thought the swale deal would work. It's not going to work. I've got like some fine wool to make fine wool boucle, but that's not traditional boucle. So I was on the hunt. Nobody had Wensleydale braids. Nobody had
Really? There
like,
was no tease water?
no tease
Wow.
water. It was just
No. It's all
all
fine wool.
fine wool.
Yeah.
No locks. No
Oh,
tease water
nothing.
locks.
Because Sarah Elizabeth isn't there anymore. So, and she's the one that always brought all that stuff. So there was a real gap at the show, really lacking not having her there. We miss
Wow.
you, Sarah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was on this mission, right? And it took me somewhat far afield. So I ended up getting a few different things. I ended up at Koniagas Textiles. Is that how you say it?
Funny, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, she's shared a booth with Melly, and I guess Melly does a lot of washing for her. And she didn't have any long will to speak of when I went there the first time.
Yeah.
But what she did have was this beautiful light fawn merino, like washed, and it was an Apple Creek merino. And it was a very, very reasonable price, already washed. I was just like, shut up. I'm not walking away from this. I can't do it. So I bought a pound, and then Glenda bought a pound of it. Yeah. And then I came back the next day and bought another pound of it because it was like, this is too, I love this so much. Yeah. It's just like gorgeous. It's only like maybe 2-inch staple.
Yeah,
maybe
a little shorter. Super long. Yeah. It'll card up just,
but just
beautiful.
The color was so like creamy, like light, like light fawn kind of color.
Really
cool. And I was thinking, I don't think a lot of us realize how different fleece merino is from merino top.
Yeah.
Like incredible.
It's not even the same thing.
No.
Yeah. I'm just finding that more and more, the more top I work with, like so much of it is just like a little bit broken down.
Yeah. It's processed.
Yeah. It's just a little bit, you know, it doesn't have as much life left in it. It's just been a little bit, deteriorated sounds really negative. And I love braids. I love working with braids, but it doesn't have the same freshness and life and
feel even
to it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it doesn't feel like it's going to stand the test of time as much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if that's true, but that's anyway. So I came away with 2 pounds of this gorgeous merino. And then when I realized that all wound up fleeces were only $30, $35 a pop, I was like, okay, I'm just
$35 Canadian.
Canadian, oh, right.
Like, so like $5.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You so guys like, are killing me.
Thanks. So we went back. She just had them all kind of stashed behind some dividers. Like, you know, it you just sort of look behind the, you know how they have those curtain dividers? It was just like behind, you just saw these shapes. It's like, that looks like fleeces, but why would they be there? And so you go to her booth and she's like, oh, they're just back there. You just go pick one. And so we were there rifling. Know. Yeah, we were just rifling through. And so I picked a Corydale and said, what the heck? I'm just going to do it.
Mm-hmm. And tons of them were sold. Yeah. Like they all had sold.
There were only like 15 left by the time we got back on Sunday.
I'm not even sure there was that many.
Yeah. But it was fine. I was happy with the one I picked. Mm-hmm. There were a couple other... There were a couple other makers I stopped by, and there was a dyer in Winnipeg who we had some lovely conversations with, called Fireweed, I think was their name.
Fireweed
company. Fireweed was in their name. That's a a flower that's native to Canada, and I've seen it in the UK as well. But I bought. They had a flax blend braid. Well, it was one of those braids that's I don't remember what the wool was, but it was like a couple different wools
and then they
and
have
some
the
of that
flax.
You know, like the what kind that's like really loose and chunky in there.
Uh-huh. Very similar to the one that you were looking at the green one that you have, Dion.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where you're kind of debating about whether or not to card it to smooth it out a bit.
I'm going to card it.
Yeah. You totally would do that. I think I want to just let it stay really textured. And I've worked so little with flax, and these flax blends are just so interesting.
Yeah.
So I snagged one of those. I bought a skein of, I keep saying it's mohair. It's the Surrey blend that kind of looks like those kid mohair yarns. Mm-hmm. I bought one of those from Megan, just a kind of a earthy, kind of like these colors, but darker and without the green.
Ooh.
There's a sweater that I'm kind of obsessing over.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then I ended up at Katrina's booth and what she had, she didn't have any long wool to speak of. She was mostly her usual bases, but then she had these random sampler packs with 4 natural colors of Faroe Islands wool.
Oh,
so cool. it looked almost like a Raya or something, like one of those super straight. And it was like, 4 natural colors, maybe like 25 grams each. So I grabbed that. It sort of depends on whether the fibers are long enough to see if it'll work for boucle, but I'll play with it. I'll play with it before I spin it, because I don't want to waste my time on a repeat of the Swaledale situation.
Yeah.
So I ended up with that. And then I ended up back at Conneaugas Textiles and I bought, what was it? It was a Romney Gotland.
Yeah.
Is that what it was? A Romney Gotland cross.
Wow.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it looks really nice. So I think that's going to be my sweet spot. So I have the Faroe Islands and I have the Romney Gotland cross, and I do have a braid of 3070 mohair BFL from Katrina at home. So I'll probably end up, I'm just gonna make a whack ton of boucle. It's gonna go into November for sure. Like I'm still gonna be doing super coils next, and then I'm just gonna, I've spun too much stuff to rush through it.
You want to really savor that study.
Add some beads to it. I'm just gonna start putting beads on everything.
All right.
And I
Get the
got
work
some,
things.
and Greta gave me some fleece. She very nicely gave me some. It was again from Conneaugis, but it was a
Lamb.
Romney lamb. She gave me like a pound of this dark chocolate Romney lamb fleece. It's really nice. So I've got lots to play with, lots to,
That was beautiful.
you
I'm kind
know.
of jealous. It was really nice. I don't want anything, but I was just like,
Yeah,
it's
so
really
she's like, I'm
nice.
just giving this to you to see what you do with it, because you know she has a bunch, and she's gonna put it with alpaca and silk, which I think is perfect. Like I think that's the best possible thing you could blend it with, the more we look
Nice.
at it. But yeah, we spent a lot of time, and then the last thing we did on Sunday was just like go to Melissa's booth and blow my brain open, because what we show up over there and just start touching locks, and Melly and Rachel start going off about porosity and like, feel this
Oh.
lock, feel this lock, feel this lock, feel this lock. Do you feel it? And I'm like, this one doesn't
What?
work. What are you talking about? Hold the phone, stop the press. What are you talking about? And they start talking about this
Porosity.
phenomenon. And can you catch, like, for those of our listeners who are not in your group, like, is it possible to catch up? Because this is a question you've been sort of talking about, like
So
how to
challenging.
blend different wools. Why is it that some wools play nice when you blend them with
And
certain
why
things and
don't
not
others?
others?
Rachel, we were talking about this in our queries group, and one of the things I've done a lot of research on my African American hair, and one of the things that's important when we're dealing with it is porosity, which is how your scales lay on your hair. Okay. If you have high porosity, the scales are open all the time. So what that means is if you wet your hair, it's going to dry extremely quick because the water evaporates.
And it gets wet really quickly too,
It's
right?
wet. If you have normal, it behaves normally. If you have low, it takes forever to wet it. No matter, I mean, as you're pouring water on, it's like you almost got to squeeze it to get the water to wet your hair. And so that made me think, well, maybe porosity has something to do with how these fibers are blending together. And so that's kind of what, because Rachel was telling, what did Melly call it? She had a name. She
Holes,
called
holes.
holes. Yeah,
There's
she
holes.
said holes.
So it does have to do with this, with the scales, to
Yeah.
some degree, in some
Some
way,
of it.
shape, or form. It does have to do with the scales. I guess what I have really struggled with in terms of describing this to people, we should probably give some context and some history, but we'll get there in just a sec. What I've really struggled with is in my discussions with Melissa about this phenomenon and about this, like, why does wallaby go into some stuff and cotton goes into other stuff, and why does silk and alpaca go into everything? And is that you can have one fleece from a breed and it works, and you can have that same breed but a different fleece and it doesn't work. And that's, I think, the part where I feel like I lose people, because we want to be able to, I think this is a very human thing. We want to be able to say Targi blends with everything, period. And the reality is that's not the case. You might have a Targi that blends beautifully, like that possum at the show, where she was like, they wear nets when there's certain things that they're blending, right? And with that particular Targi, that particular fleece, it took the possum like nobody's business. It just grabbed it and it held onto it and it blended in beautifully. And there's no evidence of it blended evenly, super, super, super high porosity. And as soon as you touch the lock, you're like, oh yeah, it has it. whatever the it is. And so that was how we got talking about it, was because she was like, oh, and the possum and the target. And then Rebecca was like, what?
Yeah, what? Yeah.
You're speaking in code.
Yeah.
And I felt
the science.
Yeah. And I felt the lock and I was like, yes, it's got that really super high porosity. And she was like, yes, that fancy word that you and Dion use. And because she knows that it was you that came up with that word, Dion. And so we got into this whole thing because then we were touching some of the other locks and all of them, the bats that they had, they're all stuff that they've blended. You know, it's like Romney and silk and Romney and alpaca. And they've got some, they didn't have anything this year with cotton, but they had a lot of the chaos bats where they throw in a lot of the sari silk. Those are so popular and they're beautiful.
They are.
That pretty much goes into everything. So we were touching all of the locks and trying to explain about this porosity. And where this came from was over the years, as she's worked with more and more fleeces, and as her and I have kind of compared notes and started to sort of brainstorm together, she's found that there's certain fleeces that have that feel, and it's very difficult. It's that it factor. It's that porosity factor where she describes it as like a certain resistance, or like there's like holes in it, which makes sense because if the scales are open, it's going to create that extra air, right? So it actually makes sense that she would describe it that way. And so I went over to her house one morning about a year ago now, it's getting to be a while ago. And she was like, feel this one, feel this one, feel this one, feel this one. Is it in this one? Is it in that one? And we compared notes, and every single one that I said had high porosity, she agreed. And then, like you said, Dion, there's the fleeces that are just normal, that are like, yeah, they kind of have it, but they kind of like, they're just kinda normal. They just kind of feel the way they feel. That Romney lamb is a bit like that. It's just kind of normal. It's not, it doesn't like scream high porosity, but it's not low porosity either.
And then there's that Shetland you had.
It was smooth as
you
butter.
Can feel it. Literally felt almost silky. It felt like it could have been a long wool the way
that's
it felt.
Without any resistance whatsoever. It was super smooth under Renate's microscope. It was completely smooth. There was no evidence of any coarseness whatsoever. Whereas when we put it next to the Corriedale, which I would say isn't a high porosity fleece, but it's not normal. It's somewhere in between, like maybe 75% if we were going to start grading them. It was quite coarse under the microscope and you could see the, like, you know,
the difference, the
bends in it. I don't have examples in here, but I'll show you later.
And you said people have a hard time understanding that from one fleece to the next, it can be different. Well, if you think about it like this, you could have three kids.
Exactly.
All three kids could have different textured hairs.
this is a great thing.
That's a good point.
That's literally the same thing with the fleeces. Yeah.
So when you're learning about like your hair and, you know, what is my hair like, you know, what is that process like for figuring out like how to profile my hair?
Like when you jump in the shower, how fast does your hair get wet? Is it immediate or does it take a couple of seconds? Or do you have to put your hands in it and get it wet?
And like literally, if I wash my hair at 8 in the morning, it'll still be wet in the evening.
Because it's low porosity.
Because it's low porosity.
I almost wonder if you could, you know, because I'm like, this needs to be scienced, you know.
Well, this is in the cotton course coming up with Sweet Georgia.
Okay. Well, I'm going to pay too much then.
Okay. It's a good conversation. We need to be having it outside of just cotton. Because this applies to everything. Because silk and alpaca. Because like silk and alpaca and llama go into basically everything. The rules don't seem to apply to those three fibers. And I have a couple of theories as to why that's the case. And Melissa and I can't prove it, but I just have a feeling just from her and I chatting, they just are such, they're such chameleons. They just go with everything. And it doesn't matter the staple length. They just seem to be able to, you know, nylon, bio nylon, that stuff seems to all be able to go in, you know, those oil-based plastics, they seem to be able to just blend in really with very little effort. But when you start to get into
Cotton.
Fibers that break the mold and break the, stuff like cotton is a, it's cotton that got this conversation started because cotton doesn't go into every anything and it doesn't like to play nice with anything. And then when you have to actively look for those wools that actually are willing to t that have those marked holes and are willing to take it. And it's the cotton too. Like some of it's just too fine. It's not going to go into anything no matter what you do because it's just too fine.
And if you were to do a test with a blending, it basically would be you're trying to blend and you've carded it over and over and you still see huge pieces that just won't go in. That's how you know. I
That's how
mean,
you know. Yeah.
that's
It
the
just,
end. I'm going to be trying that later today. I brought a bunch of my Kvyat and fiber and stuff. I'm just going to throw it on Rachel's electric carder. We can discuss the irony of that. I bought this fiber here 2 years ago and now I've got it back. Yeah, but yeah, it's pretty funny. But yeah, it's just like super interesting because I wouldn't even have really clicked onto what you were saying had I not earlier in the day been spinning my Tunis, which is like so whatever that is. It feels like nails on a chalkboard a little bit, because it's so like the opposite of smooth.
It's
Not,
almost unpleasant what
yeah,
you're
it is
saying there.
almost unpleasant. Yeah, but that's what I'm going to put with my cotton.
Yes, that
Oh, I
works.
think it'll be It'll
fine.
work. And I've
It'll work.
noticed the down fibers seem to take cotton
Okay. They seem to take
because they're
cotton
babe.
almost without exception.
Yep.
Not always, but they
Not
almost
always.
without exception, they seem to take it. And I think it's that 3D crimp and those holes and that ability for the cotton to just nestle in there. Because, and you hear about people like they're like, oh, I over carded it and I created neps. And it's like, I'm not sure you did. I think it's just not blending. And I think that's where that discerning eye starts to come in, where it's like, what are you actually looking at? Those quote unquote neps. If you actually pull one out with your nail, is that a nep or is that actually a chunk of
Clump of,
cotton? And especially fine cotton, because it does get neppy. So you haven't actually damaged the wool. And some fibers, it doesn't matter what you do or how many times you card them, you cannot jam them together. But t 10 years ago, I'm not sure I would have picked up on that. I was still too new and too beginner and just, it's like, oh, I just didn't do a great job. You chalk it up to yourself, but it's like, no, there's more going on here. It's not
And
just.
when you mentioned that, I had done a sample of Jacob and cotton like a few months before, and I just could not understand why it was like these clumps of cotton still. And I had carded and carded it. And so when you bring it up, I was like, this light bulb.
Yes, that's how I felt when Melissa started talking to me about the holes. It was like, yes. And I could only at the time I could only come up with the word resistance. Like there was like a resistance in the fleece, but you can have fleece that does have that resistance. It's not coarseness, but it's just that little bit of resistance, but it still won't take anything.
Well, let's just look. This is yours,
Yeah, your
right?
bond that we got for you.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yay.
Yeah, this is really smooth. Yeah, I love the color you picked.
Thank you. Well, it was
It's really
what
smooth. This is
is it?
like fine, fine, fine. Yeah, that's
Okay.
what I was thinking too. I wasn't feeling the thing. It feels, oh, this
So
feels like my
silk.
Shetland felt.
Okay, so
Yeah,
silk.
so
You
silk.
blended.
Muga. Muga?
Yes. Oh my
Yes.
gosh. Yeah, with the gold.
Oh, because isn't there something else in here?
No.
No, it's just the bond, right?
This is
Oh,
a.
this is a guts kit for our
I have to
listeners.
tell you about this bond off air. I have to, Melissa wanted to pass something on to you and I don't want to forget. So don't let me Okay.
forget. But we'll figure out getting it to you with Canada Post and on being on strike and everything. Yeah.
Well, I feel like we could keep having this conversation because I have more questions. Yeah, I have more
Yeah.
questions about its relationship to felting and
That's a good
like
point.
is there a relationship between like hair porosity and your ability to lock your hair? Like,
Yes.
because the
Yes.
scales is are involved in felting, but if sheviot, if a down is really kind of open and you're not felting it, then what's
Yes.
going on?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, so
Very
I've
good point.
there.
Yeah.
Maybe after I've finished blending my things, we could
it'll be interesting talk about to see. It yeah. It'll be interesting to see what you come up with this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then we should pull out, even before you start spinning them, we should pull them out and you could do like a server reflection on how well each of them.
Do a field test.
Yeah. How well each of them blended and what they felt like. Because that is one advantage to working with Lise is like, I know you do this too, Dion. I save a lock.
Yeah.
And then I can feel it afterwards. Like, oh yeah, it had the thing, you know, it worked because it had that thing.
Thanks,
you know, like,
yeah.
The it factor. And we don't always want that it factor in there because like, mm-hmm. it does make like Downs card up beautifully. I mean, they were built for that, but you know, my Corriedale that I did from Anne Grafton from New Zealand, I was just swatching mm-hmm. with it last night. It's probably like a normal porosity. Like it was probably somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. Not quite as fine as this bond, but like definitely on the very fine side. It was very, very low micron. So very, very, very fine. I'm not sure I would have wanted to throw anything in there, you know? Yeah. So porosity mm-hmm. or no porosity, it kind of didn't matter, you know, because it was going to be spun by itself anyways. Maybe I would have thrown silk in it in hindsight. Maybe, you know, 5%, 10%, 20% silk never ruins anything. It makes it better. So
definitely. Yeah. But I remember what I was thinking. What's interesting too, is like on a fleece, you can have different sections that feel differently.
Yes. Especially
and so on your head too. Yeah.
Especially fleeces like Jacob that kind of fit in that miscellaneous category, and you have different colored fleece
that haven't been bred for uniformity.
Mm-hmm. uniformity. Like some of the Downs that again haven't been bred for uniformity, and they can be different colors, you know. Yep. And you might have really, you know, you might have a patch that's, you know, a gray, say, and really super high porosity, and then another area that's not as high. That's a really good point. Right. Yeah. Yeah, and you get those like lamb's fleeces, you know, where part of it's so uber fine.
Yes.
And then they're so smooth and they're almost like silk, you know? Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. So much to learn.
Yeah.
It is.
Anyway, that's the last thing we did on Sunday is blow my brain open.
Yeah. You're walking across the parking lot.
And I'm just like, stop. Like, wait, you know. We have to talk about this. We have to talk about this right now. Rachel's like dying of sickness.
Oh, you're so sick. I'm sorry to feel better today, but I just, this happened when we went to the UK too. I got super sick a few days before. It's like my body's like,
enough. You were running. And then it's like, okay.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, thank you so much for this, Dion. Thank you for recording with us and spending some time with us.
No problem. I enjoyed it.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation. If this is your first time tuning into Woolen Spinning Radio, welcome. This audio podcast is a spin-off from the original podcast available on YouTube at youtube.com/C/Rachel Smith. Rachel has been podcasting since 2014, talking about hand spinning and making yarn. Her passion is working with her hand spun yarns and projects, both knit and woven. Links to the website, Instagram, and more are available in the show notes below or at patreon.com/woolenspinning. Please leave a comment. Let us know what you would like to hear more of on the show. And if you would like to be a guest on Woolen Spinning Radio and tell your story, please reach out. Until next month, keep wool close and your spindles closer.